The Bible is our roadmap to heaven. We've heard a bunch of those, haven't we? And we believe that. We know that for a fact. It's still our roadmap to heaven. We still believe that, and we firmly believe that. But how many of you remember paper roadmaps? There's some of you, now I see some of you right, that are really, really young and raise your hand. Do you really remember paper roadmaps? You do? Okay, well, good for you. Paper roadmaps, I like paper roadmaps. They look like that. But who can fold one back the way they're supposed to go? That used to drive me crazy. Do any of y'all that had paper roadmaps, would you just kind of fold them all up and just stick them back in there? No, no. Some people would, wouldn't they? That ain't right. That is not right. They needed to be folded with the past creases that were in there. That's the way they were supposed to go. Because invariably you would need to go to a spot that would be right there where it had been folded wrong and you couldn't get there. Now, how many of you are paper roadmap nerds? You know what a paper roadmap nerd is? You don't know that? A paper roadmap nerd is a guy that studies the legend. And then he'll go back to the map and he'll look at the higher elevations. He'll look at the rivers. He'll look at the squiggly lines. And those of you that look at the squiggly lines, I don't see Jody in here, but I see Scott. Those of you that ride a motorcycle, those little squiggly lines for a motorcycle rider, we like those little squiggly lines because that's where you want to ride your motorcycle if you've got plenty of time. But paper roadmaps are really neat. And I love paper roadmaps. But you know what? Do you go into a gas station anymore and look for a paper roadmap? I looked for a paper roadmap, a city map of Dallas a while back. You can't find it. Now, if you go to some of the welcome stations, you can occasionally find a map of some places. But if you go into a gas station, in the old days, you could find maps. But GPSs are rendering them useless. And everybody uses a GPS. In fact, probably, I would say there's probably 50, 75 GPSs in here today, aren't there? Because just about everybody that has a smartphone has a GPS, don't you? It's important that we do not become a slave to technology, isn't it? Good. I see some people shaking your head, yes. I think so. And I've said that before, and people just think I'm crazy. And I came along in my profession as an air traffic controller between the time when computers pretty much dominated everything and we used manual air traffic control. And the guys that taught me air traffic control, when I came along, felt like that you don't trust computers because they crash. And one of the first places I worked as an air traffic controller was Little Rock, and we had computers at the time. But the guys that were working there that had been there for a while, and we had computers, and it did a lot of the stuff that we needed to do, but the guys that had been there said, you don't trust the computer. They crash all the time, and they did. And if you've ever been waiting for a flight, and they said, okay, it's going to take us a while, the computers, air traffic control computers are down, and you're sitting there for hours, it's because the controllers do not know how to manually control airplanes. And it's a situation where newer controllers now have so many backup systems, a lot of times you don't even notice the delays. But it was a situation in the old, when I say the old days, yeah, years ago, and I'm sounding like really, really old. I'm not that ancient, or maybe I am. But you learn to manually control airplanes, and it's a situation now where the new people that came along have so many systems of redundancy where computers don't crash anymore. Now, your home computer probably crashes all the time. But and even home computers don't crash like they used to. But here's a guy that's slave to technology. He's chained to his computer, and you can see on the back of his computer, there's the little apple. And when I saw it, I thought, you know, I've got to copy that picture because It's important that we do not become slaves to technology. Apply some common sense to our technology, and I think that's a good idea. Here's a guy that, he's a little confused. He says, tech support says the problem is located somewhere between the keyboard and my chair. And he hasn't quite figured out where the problem's at, but have you ever heard anybody say, you know what, I've figured out the problem. I'm the problem. Well, this guy hasn't quite figured out I'm the problem, but that's where the problem's at. And this is one of my favorite sayings. Common sense is not always common. Applying common sense to our GPS roadmap may be easier said than done. Now here's one. If we had a paper roadmap, what would our paper roadmap say? It would say, road closed in the winter. And when I saw this, I just had to copy it. It says, your GPS is wrong. The road closed in the winter months. You may be driving down a road and all of a sudden you're following your GPS and you see a sign like this that says, you ain't going. Where if you were using a paper roadmap, you would have saw that long ago. You were charting your course and you would have saw that little fine print there that said, road closed in the winter. And you never would have went that way, would you? You would have realized at the very beginning of planning your route on your paper roadmap, that's the wrong way to go. Here's a guy following his GPS. And he's just blindly following it, doing what the GPS said do, and look where he ended up. GPS stands for Global Positioning System. I don't know how many of you knew that, but Global Positioning System, it's kind of like radar in a way. Radar sends a beam out that bounces it off an aircraft, and they measure the time and the distance and that comes back to it. GPS was first used by the military, and then they made it available to the civilian world, and it's triangulation based on satellites. We have a receiver in your car, your little smartphone or whatever, and for any of the kids that says math's not important, that's the system that a GPS works off of. Geometry, the positioning of triangulation of the satellites and time and distance. GPS can also stand for God's plan of salvation. Now, usually when we talk about God's plan of salvation, you're thinking, oh no, he's going to talk about the five steps of salvation. Here, believe, that's not what I'm talking about. God gave us certain things in regard to salvation in addition to our response. That's our plan of salvation. That's how we respond to God. But God gave us certain gifts from him in order so that we could be saved. And that's what I'm talking about. In order to be saved, God gave us gifts. That's God's plan for us to be saved. A good GPS can give you an alternate route to your destination. Have you ever noticed on your phone you put in a destination? And this is a little game that I play with my smartphone. I'll put in a destination, and I look at little things along the way now, and where you go through, and different distances and times, and I'll make it bigger. You know what this means now, don't you? Don't you? That's bigger. You makes it bigger. Makes your map bigger. You knew that, didn't you? Okay, you make your map bigger. And a good GPS, what does it do? It gives you different alternate routes. It'll say, if you go this way, it's going to take you this many miles and this much time. If you go this way, and it gives you alternate routes and alternate times to get to your destination. That's what a good GPS will do. And if you decide to go a certain way, what do? You touch it. And then all of a sudden, a little thing comes up, a little route, and you say, start navigating. And then you start going that way, don't you? You start making your way to your location. But what did Jesus say in John 14? He said, if you want to get to heaven, this is the way to go on your GPS. He didn't give you a lot of different routes. He gave you the right way to go. And he didn't say you could choose this way or that way. He said his way. He laid it out for us. And you know what? I'm glad he did. because I have chosen a way before, and it's been a bad choice. And I'm thinking, why did I choose that? It's kind of like the aisles at Walmart. It doesn't matter which line I get in at Walmart, which checker I get behind. It's like, oh, there he is. Let's go slow. Let's check prices. Let's really annoy him. And there's another thing. It doesn't matter when I go into Walmart. She waits at the bathroom. That woman waits, and she's there. And they wait at the restroom till I'm coming. Oh, put the sign out. We're cleaning now. She does that on purpose. I know that woman now. Every time she sees me coming, she puts that sign out. It's the same way with the cash registers. They wait till I'm coming. And that line could be moving 90 miles an hour. They're checking those people like crazy until I get there. Whoop, slow it down, check prices. And all of a sudden, I see everybody zipping through. And I could take a nap. And I'm sitting there reading the magazines. I'm leaning on the cart. And you know, I'm telling you, as I read the covers of those magazines, there's a lot of tragedy at the checkout counter at Walmart. There's a lot of sadness going on in the world. I'm telling you, I'm scared to pick up those magazines. It's sad. But Jesus told us this is the way. I'm glad I don't have to choose a way. Jesus chose it for me, and I'm thankful. There is no other alternate route to heaven. He chose the way for us, and I'm thankful for it. If I make a wrong turn when I'm using my GPS, what does it say? Recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. You know, that could be annoying. And if I am using my GPS, Bobby says, would you turn that off? Especially if we know where we're going. And it does kind of get on my nerves too. But if we don't know where we're going and you miss the turn, that's helpful, isn't it? And in fact, in life, if we're trying to get to heaven, which we are, wouldn't that be kind of handy to have? We make a wrong turn. We kind of goof up. I would love to have a little thing going off in my head that said, recalculating, recalculating. In 0.5 mile, turn left. You goofed up back there, and you're not going to get to heaven that way. You need to make a turn and do this. You need to change. I would love to have that with my GPS in my head trying to get to heaven. I think it would help out. I saw that and I thought, you know, there's the ultimate recalculation right there. But I would love to have some kind of recalculating. And you know, I was talking to some friends yesterday, and the caption to this is, some wrong turns not even your GPS can help you out with. And she was talking about somebody that she knew who had made some bad decisions. And maybe even his GPS can't help. And you know, sometimes, no matter how much recalculation we do, our GPS can't help us out. And that's something that's important to keep in mind. Maybe it could get close enough that we could figure it out. Remember that game we used to play? You're getting cold. No, you're getting warm again. Oh, you're hot. Oh, now you're getting cold again. And just get us close enough. Sometimes if we could just get close enough, but that's not about what going to heaven's all about, is it? And what's our saying that we usually use? Oh, that works in horseshoes and hand grenades. But that's not what going to heaven's all about. We want to make it. We just don't want to get close. We want to make it. But with God, God's GPS, He has sent us spiritual gifts to help us find the way. We're not going to have time to mention all of them, but I'm going to mention a few that He has given us. Creation itself is a gift, and the fact that there's order to the universe. And I love that. When you stop and think about it, if I were to, I bought a tool so that this is not an expensive watch. It's a Seiko, but it's got these little notches on here. And if you go to Walmart, even if you buy your watch at Walmart, I found that out. You go back and say, "Will you change this battery?" And she says, "No way, get out of here! I may break it." And you say, I bought it here. She said, I don't care. I ain't going to change that battery. You're tough luck, buddy. And but, you know, it's got these little notches. So I bought a tool, and you can put that tool in there, and you can unscrew it and put a different battery in. But even this watch is not very complicated, but it's got quite a few pieces. Now, if I took these pieces out and laid them out here on this communion table, if you had the training to reassemble those pieces, and there's not that many. Well, if I took it apart, I'm not sure if you did put it back together it would work, but if you had the training to put it back together, it would only be a simple copy of God's universe, wouldn't it? Just a simple copy of what God created. But yet, it measures the seconds, the minutes, the hours. But you know what? If January only had 30 days, it wouldn't work. I would have had to manually roll it over to February 1st. Now, I've got a real complicated Casio watch that's got a receiver on it for WWV, Greenwich Mean Time. And out of Denver, it sends a signal. And it's got a solar thing on it so that when you take it out in the sun, it recharges it. But you know what? It was built with all that complicated stuff in there to copy what God's given us. And these seasons and minutes and things like that are a part of what God designed. And all of these things I'm describing are simply copies of what God designed. And all of these complex things that man has designed are poor copies of what he has designed to begin with. And that's a gift that he has designed to show us things. He's tried to show mankind certain things. Then you might say, well, did you just make that up trying to convince me of something? No, it wasn't me. Psalm 19, these two verses, it says, the heavens declare. Now, if somebody declares something to you, what are they trying to do? They're trying to teach you something, aren't they? They're trying to declare something to you. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, a lot of times it's declaring to us all day long to us, and we're not even listening. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims. It's proclaiming the work of His hands. It's proclaiming this season after season, year after year, except we may not be listening. We may not be paying attention. It's been going on for a long time. We just may not be paying attention. Day after day, what do? They pour out speech. You think somebody's got to talk to you in words for you to understand? No. It doesn't have to be speech. English is not the only language that's out there. Did you know that? There's lots of other languages that's spoken. These mighty creative acts have been talking to you real loud for years and years. You may just not have sense enough to understand it. They communicate knowledge. But are you paying attention? Do you speak that language? A lot of times we don't speak the language. Somebody can come up to you in a language you don't understand, and they can be spouting this language to you, and you don't. No comprehendo. That's my Spanish. That's the limit of my Spanish. Because I don't understand that. And I could turn around and say, Sprechen Sie Deutsch. Nein, Udo. You speak a little German to them. And it's a situation where maybe then we might communicate. But the creation itself, God has been proclaiming and teaching us all these things about the seasons, about the days, all of this stuff that's happening. It's been speaking this knowledge to us and showing us these things. I will guarantee you, this is February, but come May, and I don't like the cold. I'm not fond of it. But come May, it's not going to be that cold. Not this year, not next year. The seasons change like clockwork, don't they? Next year the same. Ever since time. Summer is going to be pretty warm. Winter is going to be fairly cool ever since the beginning of time. He's been telling us about that for a long time. Well, we could talk a lot about that. Let's press on. God's abiding, everlasting word is a gift. Secondly, Peter says, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached as the gospel to you. You know, those of you that are 50, 60 years old, look at your hand. It says the flesh is like grass. That hand doesn't look like it did at 20 years old, does it? And it's not going to look like, if you're around till you're 80, it doesn't look like now. It's going to look like when you're 80. Your flesh is looking older than it used to. It withers. We're not mowing grass right now. Why? Because it's out of season. But sure as the word is true, we're going to have to, in May and June, we're going to have to mow grass. It happens seasonal. God's word endures forever, and that's what he's saying. Your flesh is like grass. Its glory is like the flower of the grass. We come and go. But you know what? God's word has been around forever. It's going to continue forever, and we're going to come and go. Our soul's going to live on, but our flesh is going to be gone and forgotten. Only our spirit is going to continue. The flower falls. I love roses and hibiscus. I've got a hibiscus plant that puts on these big red blooms that get this big. I love that plant. If you were to go look at it now, it's pitiful. It is pitiful in the middle of the winter. But you know what? And every year it comes back. But I've got Bibles that I have had forever, since I've been young. But you know what? You could burn every one of those, and God's Word's going to endure. Won't it? In fact, you could gather up every Bible in this auditorium and burn it, and God's Word's going to last forever. You could burn every Bible you could find from now to the end of time, and His Word's going to endure. He said it. I believe it. It'll happen. It'll happen. This is a chart that I copied from Does God Exist? You can go there, and that's why I say God's Word is going to exist forever. And those in the world would suggest to you, especially that show Cosmos, they would suggest to you that the Bible is just a bunch of fables and things like that. And is that kind of hard to see. If you're interested, go to the website Does God Exist by John Clayton. Look under charts. And the show Cosmos suggested that God in the Bible was just a bunch of myths and old wives' tales and stuff like that. And what this chart does, on the left-hand column, it says the facts as stated in the Bible. The center column will give you the biblical reference, and the right column will give you the common belief of the day in which the author lived. For example, on the left-hand side, about the middle of the page, it says the earth is round, day and night taking place simultaneously at different points of the world. The common belief in that particular day was that the earth was flat. And they're suggesting to you that the Bible's a bunch of just old wives' tales, and that people of the day were great scientists and they were looking for truth. They weren't looking for truth. They thought you'd fall off the edge of the world. And they weren't great scientists in that day. Yeah, there were some out there. The people that read the Bible knew the earth was round. And he suggested to you, oh, there was people of that day that were great. The people that read the Bible knew the earth was round and not flat. And they're suggesting to you that, oh, there were great scientists in those days. The great scientists read the Bible and knew it was round. And all these things were things that the Bible talked about, and it was right every time. But they're suggesting that only people that read the Bible were the crazy people. Well, I know who the crazy people is, and I'm going to tell you right now. If you speak a lie enough times, it does not become truth. It's still a lie. It's still a lie. Next page is also things like that. They talk about the last one on here, Hittite nation's existence. They said that didn't exist. And then they denied it until 1906 when they found it. Wednesday night we talked about the fact that they denied King David even existed until they found proof of that in 1993. So the Bible continues to be right and the scientists wrong. So we could spend all day doing that. Anyway, does God exist? Go to the charts. Some interesting reading. The church is a gift. I'm running out of time, aren't I? I have to speed it up. Church is a gift. Ephesians 3:21. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He says the church is going to be around forever. Forever. Till the end of the time when the world exists. You know, we are a community of believers. And Jesus predicted that he would build his church. That's what this is. And Jesus said that his church would be around till the time that he returned. And it will. It doesn't matter what kind of persecution goes on. It doesn't matter if the church has to go underground. It will exist. There will still be his believers. And I'm going to tell you, back years ago when I traveled halfway around the world to Germany, Bobby and I moved to Germany, and we moved to Ansbach, went to church in Nuremberg, met a guy who escaped Czechoslovakia when the Nazis took control of that place, and he and I had more in common than many other people did. He was a brother in Christ. How can you go to another country where somebody barely understands one another and have a brother over there? It happens. I moved to New York and Massachusetts and preached up there and talked to people who could pronounce my last name better than I could, and had people that were closer than a brother. And that's what the church is all about. That's what Jesus gave us as a gift. Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice for our salvation. And that's a gift, that's a part of God's plan of salvation. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Isaiah 53:5, it says that Jesus paid it all. He was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities, punished because our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Jesus offered himself. And I saw this and I thought this was great. He says, I want to be so full of Christ that if a mosquito bites me, it flies away singing, there is power in the blood. I love that. I thought that was great. Except I don't like mosquitoes. Because you know what I heard the other day? I am hooked on this nature channel, you know, where all the animals do things, you know, and it shows God's nature put in the animals that he's instilled them with. I'm hooked on that channel. Anyway, Dr. Pohl, he's cool. You know who Dr. Pohl is, don't you? Y'all heard me talk about him in class. He deals with all the animals and stuff like that. But anyway, I'm hooked on that channel. And they were showing this anaconda and all this stuff. They said the most deadly animal in the world. You know what it is? Mosquito. So be careful. That wasn't part of the lesson. I just had to tell you now. Be careful. God's GPS has four waypoints. You know what a waypoint is? It's one of your points along your GPS route. The orderliness of our cosmos. And I spelled it the way the Greek does, not the way the TV show does. I couldn't bring myself to spell it the way the TV show does, because I felt myself vomit in my mouth when I spelled it the way the TV show does. And I just couldn't do it. I spelled it the way the Greek New Testament does. The orderliness of our cosmos that God created is a gift from God to show us. It just keeps telling us, stop and look at the sky, look at the sunset, look at the season, look at the minutes. God is talking to you. He's telling you. And just don't say that, I'm just a pantheist, I just worship nature. That's not just worshiping nature. God in the Word itself says he gave you that to show you things. Secondly, the inside of his Word. And there's so many passages that says that the inside of his Word makes you smarter than other people. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where you start. Proverbs 1:7, and there's other passages that say the same thing. Thirdly, the glory of the church. The glory of the church. As a Christian, you can get up from here, go anywhere in the world, and you have a brother and sister in the church. Fourthly, the sacrifice of Jesus makes you valuable. That is a gift that God gave to you to give you eternal life. These are the gifts that God gave us. And there's more spiritual blessing, but these were several that I wanted to talk about this morning and just show you and maybe leave you with the idea to help you realize that God has blessed us tremendously. And help you remember those things. This morning, if you have need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.